Lord, bless the reading and proclaiming of your word here tonight. Amen. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is called Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Amen. This little babe, so few days old, is come to rifle Satan's fold. All hell doth at his presence quake, though he himself for cold do shake. For in this weak unarmed wise, the gates of hell he will surprise. So wrote Robert Southwell about 450 years ago, speaking of what is happening in Advent, an age-old battle. So I wish you a Merry Christmas once again. Merry Christmas. A most frequent greeting tonight and tomorrow. And on the face of it, we think when we wish someone a Merry Christmas, we wish them happiness, right? Merry, that you would be merry, as in happy birthday. May you smile and smile a lot. Or sometimes happy can mean happy in that you drink even a bit too much. But when we say Merry Christmas, historically that is, when we say the way that it was understood, there was a little more depth to it. Merry had to do with strength. Merry, I mean M-E-R-R-Y. There's another Mary in this story, I know. Mary, that is, having to do with strength, not only finding rest and comfort and joy in Christ's birth, but also being strong and fearing not in light of the message, fearing not in light of the message, being not dismayed or discouraged by anything. Merry Christmas, to be valiant, to be bold, and to be brave, and on earth, peace. That peace to mankind. So it's ironic that through the warfare of our Lord that peace comes, and that Merry Christmas has to do with that old battle that then provides us with peace. So let's consider what Luke has to say as we focused on Luke here tonight. Our author, Luke, sees something cosmic that's happening before our eyes. Whatever is happening, whatever he thinks is taking place, it is big, it is broad, it is cosmic. That is, that something that deserves your attention, deserves my attention. To put it another way, it's not an average Saturday night. This is no ordinary birth announcement. That is, that the world is to know, that the world is to pick up their ears and to understand what is happening. Cosmic, it's all creation should know about these things. It is no ordinary birth for sure to the end, because it's going to be no ordinary ministry. So God beckons Caesar Augustus in his plan and says, "You will be part of this plan to bring about this redemption." Caesar Augustus, the Tsar, the Kaiser, the Emperor, the one who is to be worshipped. So he enlists, if you will, the highest, and then he enlists the lowest. He enlists the shepherds. The message is relayed to us by shepherds. And Martin Luther says, "Behold how richly God honors those who are despised of men. Here you look and you see in the depths of their humility." And then it's not merely an angel who would pronounce these things or announce these things. Not a single angel, we read in verse 13, but a multitude of the heavenly host. That is, that the heavens have opened up, that there's a multitude, a host of heaven, a troop from heaven, references then to 1,000 besides 10,000, that if you were there, that the heavens were open and that the angels were declaring that something big is happening and that you should listen and that you should pay attention, because this is no ordinary birth announcement. Because it is no ordinary birth. We love to tell others about upcoming births, birth announcements, a grandchild, a niece, or our own children we want to tell the world, we post on Facebook, Instagram, or whatever. But this birth announcement is unique, is different, is like no other, because it is no ordinary child. He calls Augustus in, he calls the shepherds in, he calls the angels in. In fact, in Matthew's gospel, even he calls the stars in, if you will, that the stars align so that we would know, that we would know about this birth. He wants you to pay attention. He wants the world to pay attention, as even the angels and the stars line up. So what's so different about this birth? Well, it's not every day that you have the incarnation, that is the Son of God, assuming flesh. And we read in Luke, our selections in Luke, telling Theophilus that these things are now coming to fulfillment before our eyes, that people are going to be brought back to the Lord their God, that the hearts of parents are going to be changed, and that they're going to be devoted once again to their children, that it's called good news, that he'll be great and called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever and ever. His kingdom, this kingdom, will never end, that he will scatter the proud. Watch out, Augustus, because you are going to go down. The rulers on thrones will come down. The rich will end up empty, and he will lift up the humble. He will lift up the poor to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before him all our days, and enable us to serve the living God. So we read then in verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is called Christ, who is called Christ the Lord." This is the one that the world has been waiting for, the seed of the woman, the child of Abraham, a lion of the tribe of Judah, a prophet like Moses, a royal son, and a descendant of David, promised thousands of years before. And it's this babe, so few days old, is come to rifle Satan's fold. That is, that all things are coming to a head, and what we have here now is a cosmic war story, a conflict between the forces of evil and the forces of righteousness, the forces of God and the forces of the devil himself. That is, that Mary labored in a place far from home, and heaven and hell thundered and took up arms. Satan understood this. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. The great dragon was hurled down to the down that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the world astray. He knows that his time is short. And that is being announced now as the angels so declare. So it is more than merely a sweet story about a baby. When Jesus was born, he was wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. But as you know, the story does not end with Advent or with Christmas or with his birth. That it ends with when he died, he was wrapped in linen and laid in a tomb. That's the story, so that we might live, so that creation might be renewed, that God's people, despite our sin, and even in light of our death, that we would find life by faith, believing in him, by turning from sin in repentance, and in so doing, loving his bride, yes, even the church. So with such good news, even the angels could not hold back. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That the angels would sing, glory be to God, and peace to us. Not in some trite sense, but bringing peace to mankind, that every man, every woman, every child needs to hear today, that every man, every woman, every child in America needs to hear today, that every man, every woman, every child in every country, whether it be England or Saudi Arabia or China or Argentina, glory be to God in the highest. Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. That we were made to give glory to our Creator, your Maker. That is what we were made or created to do. That is the fuel by which you are to live. Glory be to God, not self-consumed, not filled with self, but filled with glory of God. What good is the Christian story void of God in his glory? What good is the Christian story void of God in his glory? What's the worth of the words peace on earth if not rooted in the truth of Christ's birth? What benefit is for us to discuss the joy of the season unless we fix our hearts and minds on the principal reason? And to find peace, goodwill toward men, that elusive peace that sometimes we taste, but then only for a moment and then it's gone, that peace that's beyond understanding, peace that's bigger than me, bigger than you, peace that should bring nations together and families together, and ultimately and foundationally bringing God and man together. That peace can only be given by one person, the Prince of Peace. Amen. The Prince of Peace. But now, when the newborn king made his appearance, the swaddling band with which he was wrapped up was the white flag of peace. That manger was the place where the treaty was signed, where warfare should be stopped between man's conscience and himself and man's conscience and his God. It was then, that day, that the trumpet blew, dash, sheath the sword, O man, sheath the sword, O conscience, for God is now at peace with man, and man at peace with God. Do not feel, my brethren, that the gospel of God is peace to man. Where else can peace be found but in the message of Jesus? That peace that will keep us in perfect peace. So we wish you then a merry Christmas. May Christmas truth protect your year, quiet your soul, and dry your tear. Guilt be gone, death be still. Life can have no fear. May Christmas truth protect your year, quiet your soul, and dry your tear. Guilt be gone, death be still. Life can have no fear. Christmas is the renewed invitation to not be afraid. And let him whose love is greater than our own hearts and minds can comprehend be our companion. So Spurgeon says, I wish everybody that keeps Christmas this year would keep it as the angels kept it. Set an example to others how to behave on that day. And especially since the angels gave glory to God, let us do the same. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. I bring you good news of great joy, but not only joy, valiant, gallant, and mighty, take heart and stand fast. Merry Christmas to the people of God.